And so I'm glad to see all of you. I'm glad that Sandy's here. I'm sure she will start playing the keyboard soon. We are hoping that we will have our music team back so that we can worship and praise the Lord the way we want to. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we have a guest preacher, my friend Funwayo Mafuleka. He's a pastor at Midway Congregational Church, right? Midway, it's a village church. Midway Village Church. He's here with us, and I'm sure the Lord is going to use him to bless us all. Let us take a minute and pray for him as he prepares to come. Father, I want to thank you for this moment. I thank you for my friend and brother Funwayo, whom you have prepared to come and be a blessing to us. We pray that you may use him as your worthy vessel, and that, Lord, you may prepare our hearts, that we may receive what he is going to present to us today. Through it all, Lord, we pray that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. We like clapping when we have guest preachers, so you're welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I was about to start when he was telling me when I was going to come up. He told me, well, you know, you have to take your mask off. And I said, oh, I thought I was going to have it on so that you don't know who is preaching because of what I'm about to say. But I'm so thankful to Valerian for his invitation, but most of all, very thankful for his friendship. We met pretty much 6 years ago, exactly 6 years ago next week, when I came to Gordon Conwell, and he was in his third year, and I came to study the same program that he did on the same provision that God had made for us in providing a scholarship for us to study here. And it's been exactly a year since I was last here. Exactly the same first Sunday of August that I was here last year. And one of my mentors told me that you have to appreciate when somebody invites you to preach for the first time, and I was thankful, but when they invite you the second time, you really have to think about it because they may be calling you to correct all the mistakes you made the last time. So Valerian did actually try for the whole year trying to correct all the things that I had messed up on, and I'm glad that I can come and help him do that. I want to share with you today as an encouragement, as a reminder. I want to speak from Ephesians chapter 3 and just 2 verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, as indicated in the bulletin. If we would stand for honor of God's word as we read it, if you're able to. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that comes to us at a time like this. We want to open our hearts. May you work in our hearts in the very places where we may fail to do so ourselves. But we recognize your spirit in our midst, for where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. And we embrace you for what you have for us today, what you are taking us through today. Not just in the sermon, not just in the message, but in all the interactions that we have today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. It is important for us to remember that God has called us into a divine relationship with Him, a relationship which is critical in the pillars that it has. And one of the pillars that supports our relationship with God is our hearts rightly honoring God, having the right attitude towards God in who He is. It is God's desire that His name be properly addressed, properly perceived, properly honored above everything. He is worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. As Isaiah 45 verse 6 says, that my people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is no other. As you know, God appeared to Moses, as you have been looking at the book of Exodus, and desired and did deliver his people so that the people may belong to him and him to them, that they would rise up and worship him. And one of the statements that Moses gave to Pharaoh, he says, let my people go out of your land that they may worship their God. They may sacrifice God. We have to remember that we need to honor God, that we need to magnify God, that we cherish God, to give admiration to God, to admire Him, to look at Him and to be wowed by Him. Look at Him and appreciate Him. Think of Him, contemplate of Him, and respond in praising His name. Admire His name. Admire His being. You see, admiration is one of the activities that we all do. Admiration actually helps us create the bonds with something. It helps us connect with the things or the people we admire. Some of you are sitting right here as husband and wife because of how admiration worked in your life of the other person. If you are like me, when I approached my wife and I started to admire, she didn't have anything to do with me. She never thought of me, and she says, please give me a break. But as we continued to interact, she began to speak to me kindly, speak to me positively. And she continued to admire and reciprocate the admiration. Admiration helps create in us a bond with things and with people. I have just seen a new car that is coming out on the advert. It's a Nissan. I'm not so much interested about Nissan cars, but the beauty of the car just strikes me. It looks like it was created from somewhere else beyond the universe. That's how I hope I can use that to have it, but I'm not interested in Nissans anyway. But admiration helps us connect with things. And admiration is an activity that we all do. And it is an activity that we need to grow in. It is an activity that we need to rightly do. Admire right things. Admire properly. And even be encouraged to admire. Sometimes the very things that you admire become dull because of proximity, because of familiarity, but we need to encourage one another and be encouraged to admiration. And it is that invitation that we have today that I want to lay before you to encourage you, to uplift you, and even uplift myself to admire God, appreciate God, cherish God, glorify God. And if you will, for me, I want to basically say this truth. Let us magnify God's mighty power. That's all I want to say. Let us, as an encouragement, let us do this, because you and I know life has a way of knocking us down to the very moment that we can be tested to look down on God because of our experiences. You remember the wife of Brother Job. She looked at the circumstances of what the husband was experiencing, and she actually said to her, as though she was wise, but spoke foolishly and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Conversely, it is actually true. If you curse God, you will die. I want to say and suggest that somebody else said it before, that you bless God and leave. You magnify God and leave. But just because you have to do that doesn't mean that we do that. Because life has a way of skewing our mind and turning us and looking down on the circumstances, looking where we have been, what we are going through, and what we may not get through, and what we may not become, and begin to look at God, why are you taking me through this path? That's why I come today and just say to us today, to say, let us magnify God. It is that idea that we find Paul expressing in the passage that we have read. Ephesians is a book that is an equipping book for the church. It is an equipping manual for the church, for the Christian believer to rightly walk in the things that God has accomplished in Jesus Christ. And Paul is writing to a people who have really been delivered from a worship of many gods. And he is actually admonishing them and encouraging them to see what God has done in Jesus Christ. And as he does so, there are many times he stops and says that, I give glory to God. I give majesty to God. I want you to know that it is God who has done this. It is not your own doing. It is God's work. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, it says that it's not your doing, so that you shouldn't boast. You should actually look to God. And I like what he says in chapter 3 verse number 14. He actually says that I bow my knees before the Father. qualifying who he is talking about. And then he puts out this statement, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Here making a point, putting a pillar, putting a billboard to say that this is the one that I am so focused on. And then when he comes to verse 20, he just goes all out in putting a billboard, putting a magnifying glass on God whom he prays to. And I want us to look at this because there is several things that I want to bring out for our encouragement, for our learning, and for our practice. If we are going to magnify God, if we're going to admire God, if we're going to cherish and honor and worship God, we have to recognize God's mighty power. And by this, really, I'm just trying to bring out the very fact that we don't have to magnify God in a religious manner because somebody said that God is big. I'm saying this, that we need to recognize in our individual lives the kind of God that we worship. That it is not just because of what other people are saying. It is not a religious activity. It is not a religious gymnastics that we do. It is not something that we do empty in our lives. It is something that comes out of a recognition of the very power of God. And that is exactly what Paul is doing here. He says, now to him. I want to say that if we're going to recognize God, it means that we have to identify him. And that's what Paul does. He says, now to him. You have to understand, when Paul is writing this, he's writing to a people who are pulled in so many directions by so many ideas about God, so many ideas about how to worship God, so many ideas of philosophical ideas to really connect with the divine, really to connect with the superpower that may be somewhere, somehow. But Paul here says that to him, who? Him who has created the heavens and the earth. Him who has made everything to proceed from him. He says, I identify this God. Not only are we supposed to identify God, his mighty God, this mighty power, but also Paul, he says that he clarifies God's power. He clarifies God's power. He doesn't just say him, he actually says, this God is able. And the word able is not just an ability to, but it is actually power to. He has the dynamic power to get things done. He clarifies that this God is not just able to do some things, but he's able to do, what does your Bible say? Exceedingly and abundantly. And in the Greek language, that word is not as many words as the English translation says here. There is a word here that is compound, the word that is superseding a magnification of the kind of power that God has. It is connected to the word hyper, the word that comes from the English word hyper. He is able to do exceedingly. He is able to do not just exceedingly, but he is able to do abundantly. And even after he has done abundantly, he's even able to do above that abundance. I don't know if you see that in your life, that God is able to do that. If you're like me, you have experiences in your life where that doesn't become the reality in your life. You don't see that. That's why I am saying, let us open our eyes to see that. Paul helps us here. He says that to him who is able to do exponentially, able to do magnanimously, not only does he clarify God's power, but he qualifies God's mighty power. He qualifies. How does he qualify? He qualifies in saying that he is able to do abundantly above all that we ask. Aren't you glad that God is able to do things? Aren't you not just glad, but super glad that he's able to do what you ask? Aren't you even more glad, more than the glad that you had in the first statement or the second statement, that he's able to do beyond what you ask? Have you ever prayed to God a ridiculous prayer that you even stop in your mind to say, Lord, help me, or Lord, do this, and you're like, I don't know. But not only does God do what you ask and beyond, but notice the language here is somehow lost in the English. The asking here is not asking one time, but it is our continuous asking. And not just your asking, but my asking, and your 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 all of our askings, if there's ever a word like that. God is able to do that. And there's another distinction that he throws in there that really humbles me, that he says he's not just able to do what I ask and do more than I ask, but he's able to do even what I think. You see, sometimes some thoughts never make it to prayer. There are some things that just end here. Those kind of things that sometimes you ask, what are you thinking? Nothing. God is able to do beyond that. And that's a mighty power. You see, I am glad that God is able to do beyond what I ask or even comprehend or understand. I am glad because sometimes I fool myself. Sometimes I look at things in the wrong way. Starting from 1999, after I graduated from my undergrad, I had this idea to come to the U.S. to study for a master's program, and I wanted to study Christian education so that I can go back to my country, Malawi, and actually help the country in the field of education. And I didn't have any money. So I endeavored to trust God to make a provision, and I put myself to work in a business that actually was crossing borders, taking curios in curved wood curvings from Malawi and shipping them to South Africa, all the way down to Durban, a very gruesome travel, crossing borders and all that, just to make enough money so that I can buy a plane ticket, I can get my tuition in to come and study. And I tried to do that, and I was trusting God, but twice I went on that trip, both times I lost all the money that I had put in. And I was saying, God, you just have to do this. God, you just have to do this. And I began to say, God, make a provision. Actually, it was one trip that I was in South Africa, and things were, I was losing money. People were taking the products that I was selling and never giving back money because they were not selling them. And I got so frustrated, I went to church just for one Sunday because I wasn't going to church at that particular time. And in the church service, somebody in front said something that really touched my heart, and I didn't know how much it did. Somebody said, during the time of offering, and say, take out your money. You know how in Africa we do things so exuberantly. And he says, take out your money and wave it. And I said, I don't want to do that. That's just ridiculous. Because of how my heart was responding. And I was sitting, sunk in my seat. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give the money. And the guy said something to me. He says that some of you are looking for money, but God wants to give you provision. I stood up. And that trip went by. I lost everything. I appreciate what he said, but I didn't know how much it meant in my life. And I just said, God, I'm just going to pray. You make the provision. I'm not going to labor for this. Just provide, as you have said. I started praying by faith, asking God, imagining things. I looked at the website of the school that I was going. I was already accepted, and they had given me a partial scholarship. He says, just raise this rest of the money and get your ticket and come. And I said, God, you're going to do that. I looked at the flight itineraries, and I said, this is a flight that I want to be. And I looked at the website of the school, and I said, I want to go to that orientation. I want to go in that orientation. And I was praying this, and I said to my friend one time, if there is one thing that I've really trusted God in my life, it's this. But came the day that I had perceived in my mind that I was going to go on a flight, and I wasn't getting on it. I had not bought the ticket. I had not even gotten a visa. Nothing worked. And you know, that crushed my soul. One of the most troubling time I've had in my faith was that I believed God and it didn't work. It was almost like Job's wife was saying to me, man, just abandon everything. You know, this God thing is, you know, it's just taking you south. And a friend of mine picked me up and said, you know, God has this time. And he asked me a question, do you know God is sovereign? And I said, yes, I know. I know God is sovereign. And then he asked me another question. He says, do you believe that? I said, oh, God, I know. But it's not here. I know, but it's not here. There are so many things, brothers and sisters, that we get to learn by behavior, but not by experience, by true faith. And I started walking again, trusting in God. And more than 10 years later, in the middle of the night, in February, I got an email. In the middle of the night. And I read that email and I shook my wife from her sleep. Said, you have to listen to this. I've just gotten a scholarship, a full scholarship that all of us are going to go and study together. God is able to do what I ask. And not just what I ask, but even beyond what I ask. Even beyond what I think. God is powerful. God's mighty power is at work for us. And notice that this power is not the kind of power that we can like understand power in the natural sense. This power, ladies and gentlemen, is not the kind of conceived power that we have in a natural realm, because power is understood in the sense of power works on the from the outside into our lives. And it stays out there. And whenever we need it, we go get it. No, this is not that kind of power. This power, Paul clearly says to us, this power is at work within us. God's power has, God has humbled himself in his power and has made his power to be residing within us. Do you realize that is such magnificent power? God's power does not just sit out there and then we look at it and say, oh God, look at that power. Oh, that is so powerful. Like in those days when I started going to the gym, I was so skinny. I didn't have this nice body and this... I would go in there and I'll look, you know, the people who run gyms are kind of like also not thoughtful about some of us who don't have any flesh on us. You go in there and you look at your skin on the mirror. They put mirrors all around you. The way where you look, you see yourself and you look and say, oh. And then sadly, they also post nice belt men with six packs on top of the mirror and say, look at what you're missing. That you look at it and you say, oh, that power. Oh, I admire that power. And then you start lifting weights and you feel tight a little bit. And then you say, I think I'm getting there. You see, God's power is not outside. God's power is right within us. It is such an humble thing for God to do. It demonstrates the kind of power that God has. Amen? Amen. Lastly, not only are we supposed to recognize God's power, but we also have to do something with what we recognize. We have to magnify God. We have to declare it. We have to pronounce it. We have to see that with all of our eyes and dance in it and celebrate in it and wallow in it and say, this is the mighty power of God. You see, it's not enough just to think it. It is not enough just to feel it. Oh, I feel God's power. No, you have to open your mouth and say, God is mighty. You have to declare it. And that is what Paul does here. Notice the first thing that he says. He magnifies God. He says, to him be glory. And actually, in the Greek language there, the be there is not there. It is actually to him glory. Because he already has the glory. Any glory that we would describe or ascribe to God does not add to his glory. His glory is already there. We're just recognizing it and appreciating and declaring it and pronouncing it and singing it. He says, to him glory. And notice, in his language in verse 21, that as he gives God glory, he also invites. Giving God glory is a missional living. It is an evangelistic kind of living. You're not just magnifying God's power for you to enjoy it because you're enjoying it and because it is good for you. But in doing so, there is an invitation mission that magnifying God has. Because Paul here, notice how he says it. He says here that to him be glory in the church. He makes an invitation that what I am doing should be done in the church. And whichever is going to be done in the church has to be done in you, in your life, in your personal life. Otherwise, it will not be in the church. Magnifying God gives an invitation to others. It is when Isaiah goes in the temple and he sees the glory of God and he says, oh, glory, glory has filled the temple. His train has filled the temple. It's filled with God's glory. But understand what happens. He hears a voice within that. Who shall I send? Who shall go for us? And Isaiah looks at that and hears that and says, Lord, what can I do? I'm a man with unclean lips. I'm a man who resides with filthy people. And God says, I'll cleanse you so that you can invite others into this glory. Is it not Paul himself who says, whatever you do, do to the glory of God? Whatever you do should magnify God, because whatever you do has the potential to invite other people to honor God, to magnify God. Lastly, not only does he magnify God and invite us to do that, he also centers this magnifying of God in Jesus Christ. He says here that to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. You see, there is no glorifying God without Christ. There is no lifting up the name of God without recognizing what God has done, because all that God has been done through Jesus Christ. And that is our center point. That is our anchor of magnifying God. That we don't just magnify God because he has done something good for us. We are magnifying him because of who he is in Christ Jesus. Christ has come to reveal God himself to us. And that is the magnification that we do. That is the center of our magnifying. We need to magnify God. Magnify him in his power. It is David, in writing beautiful songs and beautiful adoration songs, in Psalm 34, he stops and says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble be invited. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I'm not just magnifying God because you are doing it. I'm magnifying God, yes, because you're doing it, but yes, also because I am seeing subjectively what he has done objectively, who he is objectively. I am doing that out of an experience, out of my recognition in my individual life, because I cannot magnify God with you if I don't see that in my own life. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let us magnify God's mighty power. Can we do that? Can you take in your own private time to really sift through your heart, to really put a spotlight in how you worship God. The songs that you sing, how true are they in your heart? When the sun comes up in the morning, do you just say, oh, what a beautiful sunrise? Can you lift up your heads, your eyes beyond the sunrise and the sunset and look at the magnified God who made that? When you sit down on the table and you look at all that nice food, that steak that is just bubbling with these nice, juicy Stubbs sauce. And don't just stop and say grace. Magnify God. Uplift him, because there are other people who don't have what is before you. Magnify him. Let us magnify God, our Maker, because he has such power demonstrated in what he has done for us. And that power is at work within us. Let us bow our heads and pray. Our Lord and our God, we turn many times at our circumstance, our circumstances, our situations, and we kind of like put our worship, our magnification, our cherishing and honoring you on the basis of what we are experiencing in this world. If we experience good things, oh, it's so wonderful to bless your name. It's so wonderful to say, it is well with my soul. But there are many times when we look at everything else, it's going south, it's going sour, it's going bad. And we can't lift up our heads. We can't see the glory of your name in our circumstances, as if though your glory is only seen in the good times, as Job said. Can we accept only the good from God and not the evil? Lord, may you lift us by your own spirit, by your own hand, by your own display of your glory, that yes, our heart will sing the glory of the Lord. Our hearts will cherish you in true admiration of you. And thereupon our lives be formed. Therein our lives be changed. Therein our life being changed from one glory to another glory. So we ask, let your spirit reside in us in a very recognized way, that we can lift up your name, that we can magnify your mighty power. Amen.